Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another His Way Out Ministries radio broadcast. If you had opportunity to join me last week, and you're aware that my very special guest was Janet Boynes. She is the founder and CEO of Janet Boynes Ministries. And I'm very pleased to share with you once again this morning. Joining me is Janet herself. Good morning, Janet. Welcome back.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
You know what? Last week, we quickly ran out of time. I'd like to begin this morning by jumping right into, if you'd once again, Janet, just share a little bit about your personal relationship as it is to the whole subject matter of same-sex attraction. You speak to this both professionally and personally. Amen?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, the excitement about today is that I can say that I'm totally free from living the life of homosexuality. And I lived that life for 14 years. And in September, I would have been out 20 years. And if it wasn't Praise by the Lord. Grace of God, I don't think I would be where I'm at today. So I'm grateful.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to ask you, because I spent quite a bit of time on your website, and I made some notes that I really wanted to ask if you'd enlighten us on a bit, because I really, really, really appreciate the principles that guide your ministry. The principles are: teach compassion without compromise, remain bold and strategic in the face of adversity, stay true to the will of God, and fulfill the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, that pretty much says it all.
It really does. I mean, the gospel is simple. You know, I don't have to use words that are going to go over people's heads, because a lot of times, you know, some of us can't even comprehend it, you know. And everything that Jesus taught in the Word of God, He put a lot of times in parable, but He made it simple. I believe our motto is compassion without compromise. We have to have compassion on those who don't walk like us, look like us, talk like us, or dress like us, whatever it is. We have to have compassion for all those that are struggling with whatever they're struggling with.
Yes.
Without compromising the gospel. And that's what I'm finding that's happening now in the churches. And I think you can relate to that, is that we have pastors and ministry leaders around the country that are caving to the gay agenda. Why? Because out of fear. I've talked with many pastors, and I'm sure you have.
Yes.
But fear has a grip on us. We teach that, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. We preach all this stuff on fear from our pulpit. But when it really hits home, the fear of the gay agenda, the gay community, is really stopping a lot of churches from talking about that. So that's where I believe we have to stand up in boldness.
Yes.
We gotta stay true to the Word of God. God never said upon our salvation that we would not only have, you know, temptations, but He never said that we wouldn't be beat upon and people wouldn't spit on us or want to kill us or get rid of us.
Yes.
That's just a part of our journey.
Yes.
But we still have to stay true to the boldness, because He's given us that.
Yes.
And I believe if He's called you to the ministry, He's going to give you the grace to carry it out.
My encouragement for the past 25 years has been, as it remains today, is for the church to see gay communities around the world as a vast, enormous, and in so many respects, a virtually still untouched mission field. I, for one, I just cannot get my head around that if we are not reaching to gay-identified men and women, gay communities, how can we possibly say that we are fulfilling the Great Commission?
And I agree with that. I mean, somebody just put on my Facebook fan page, Janet, should gays and lesbians be in a church? Where else would I want them to be? If we said God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword, which it talks about in Hebrews, that it pierces the heart of the marrow, I want them in church because that's what's going to change their life. It's the word of God. Janet can't change them. Pastor Philip can't change them. Their mom can't change them. Their dad or their spouse or whoever they are hoping will change their life.
Yes.
It's the power of Jesus Christ. He is the change agent. And when you are sitting under the word of God every Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday, whatever day you go to church, and you don't change, that's because you don't want to change. Because the word of God will convict.
Absolutely.
And it will transform your life.
Absolutely.
We need them in church.
Yes, absolutely. And if they can't come into church and receive the love, encouragement, and support for their journey, where else are they going to go?
Well, the gospel, we do get the message at church, but church is not within the four walls. It's not a stained glass. It's not a steeple, and it's not a building. We got to get outside them four walls.
Yes.
And that's why God is opening doors for us to travel the country or for you to have a radio station. There has to be more than one venue besides being in the building of the church to get the message out.
Yes.
And if it wasn't like men and women like us, who God has given a titanium spine, some backbone to stand up for what we believe in. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying other people don't have backbones. But what's stopping them from speaking truth? Are they more concerned about the tithe? Are they more concerned that their church is going to fall apart? It's not yours anyway. This ministry is not mine. If I lose my home, if I lose my car, I'll sleep on somebody's couch, but I'll continue to preach the gospel. Because I believe that people need to come to know Jesus as their Lord, God, and Savior. My heart is to see people saved. My heart is to know that they're going to spend eternity with Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And we have to start being the church and not just saying we are the church.
I so agree. You and I both share a huge concern regarding youth today when it comes to the whole topic of gay and the related issues. My concern has been, and my concern remains, that most young people today, I'm speaking primarily, specifically, of Christian young men and young ladies, they are learning more about homosexuality from the internet, from movies and television, than they are in church, and that needs to change.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have so many young kids are committing suicide. Actually, I'm in Florida, and I stopped in a Publix. And I was, I was in Costco, and I was talking to a guy. I knew he was gay. I knew he was gay from the time, you know, they were giving out the testers of foods, and we were just talking. Somehow I just stood there and just had a conversation. He was telling me about his other job, which he helps transgenders. And I said, can I ask you a question? I said, why do you think that our young kids are committing suicides? A lot of times they blame the church. They blame Christians. And he goes, I don't believe it's the church's fault. I believe it has a lot to do with our families.
Hmm.
Our families are kicking our kids out of the home. I believe even though you don't support their views of your kids, they're still your kids. You're still going to be accountable for them kids. You can say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I support that. However, if parents don't want their kids to have somebody of the same sex, this is my belief, and people can like it or not, in their home, that's okay. But don't reject your child, because that will always be your child. And that's one thing I can say about my mother. My brother lived a homosexual life until he died of AIDS in 1999. My mother never rejected either one of us. She loved us. And that's why I believe, you know, I'm where I'm at today, because I still have the love of my mother. But let me tell you what my mother's biggest fear is today at the age of 83 for me, her child, is that somebody's going to hurt me for preaching the gospel. For standing up for what I believe in. Our young kids are walking away from their faith is because they're not getting the message at home or at church.
Yes.
They want to hear truth. So if they're only hearing it from the gay community, that's what they're going to take in and that's what they're going to believe, because they're not hearing it from anybody else.
Yes.
And that's why I think it's important, the colleges that I'm going into, Andrew Walmack Ministry, Karis Bible College, or Northwestern College, or North Central, those are the ones that I've, you know, been affiliated with. They're bringing people in to talk about this, but a lot of times churches don't want to bring in men and women to talk about this issue to their youth because they're afraid that the wrong message is going to be sent.
Yes.
They think hate is going to be sent, but what they don't realize is that you're really speaking love into their life, because it says that you care about the issue and you want to talk about the issue. Give them an opportunity to say, you know what, I'm struggling, I'm in trouble. However, let's love them where they are.
Yes.
Let's not just go in and just throw the Bible at them. Let's love them where they are. Yes. If they need food, let's give them food. If they need clothes, give them clothes. Let's not just beat them over the head with the Bible. Let's meet them where they are. And I believe God will use us in a magnificent way.
If there is one statement and really one main question that I hear on a very regular basis when I am conversing with teenage boys and girls, and even young men and young ladies in their early 20s, it's this. Pastor Lee, there are so many mixed messages being generated today on the subject of homosexuality. Where do I find truth? And if we're going to find the truth on this subject, we must go to the Bible. Now, even when we go to the Bible and we look at the scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament, which clearly define the practice of homosexuality in God's eyes as a sin, a person still has to make a choice whether or not they're going to believe what they're seeing and reading is true, because God won't interfere with our making free will choices. But I hear this over and over and over so much today, especially from teenage boys and girls. Where do I find the truth on this? Because there's so many people saying so many different things. Well, truth, we've got to go to God's Word.
Well, if you're out there in the world and you're trying to, and you are affiliated with unlike-minded people, or if you're unequally yoked and you're listening to more of the people in the world, well, that's where you're going to get your answer.
Yes.
If you're in the church and you are really seeking the truth, God says, if my child or if somebody is, you know, wants a piece of bread, I'm not going to give them a stone. I believe in your heart, if you're really searching for truth, God will put the right people in your life. He will show you the truth, but it's up to you to accept the truth. A lot of times we don't accept the truth because we are trying to fit into a community that we were never called to fit into. People got to feel like they belong before they believe.
Good point.
In the church, yeah. And a lot of times we're spending so much time with the world or the unsaved because we want to fit in. A lot of times you have our young kids that are at church. They don't fit in with the cool kids. They don't want to accept them. All the people that, you know, all the cute girls or the handsome guys, they push all these other people away. And people are looking for a place to belong. And if they find it, you know, within the gay community or with, you know, somebody else that or another group that is not pleasing to the church, we need to start blaming ourselves because everybody should belong in the church.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If you see somebody in a pew and they're by themselves, pull them along. It's okay.
Yes.
It's okay. You could be helping this person not commit suicide. You could be helping this person walk away from, you know, drugs or alcohol, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. We have to get better at, in our churches, of being more inviting.
Yes.
And allowing people into our little clique circle. And we haven't been very good at that in the church. Sometimes it can be the worst place to go, but then again, it could be the best place to find the gospel.
Yes. And you know, really, when you start considering the totality of Scripture on, again, this whole subject matter of same-sex attraction, search the Scriptures from beginning to end, and every time, without fail, that homosexuality is mentioned, it is always mentioned and offered in the context of a behavior not unlike many others where God says, don't go there. Now, you would think, being impossible to validate homosexual practice in any form to any degree from Scripture, you would think, well, okay, case closed. But that is not the case, is it today?
No. Well, you know, a lot of times, if I'm answering your question, you find many that will say, well, wait a minute, Ms. Boynes, or wait a minute, Pastor Boynes. The Bible only talks about homosexuality. Matter of fact, Jesus never even brought it up. Well, wait a minute. Man wrote the Bible. Well, wait a minute. We are his disciples. He gave us a message to go out and preach. So you don't have to listen to me, but I hope I have enough Jesus in me that you will listen to me. But everything we need, good or bad, is found right in the Word of God.
Yes, exactly.
And the Bible says do not deviate from it, but don't add to it at all either. And there are people who are trying to add to it. Now, if you want to, there's people that the gay community wrote their own Bible, and they took everything out about homosexuality.
Yes, which is why we have pro-gay theologians and pro-gay apologists.
Right.
Yes.
And so I believe that the Bible that I have here today, regardless of who it was written by, this is the Word of God. And because this is what we use, that we serve a God that loves us enough that is going to speak to us through this Word.
Yes. Let me ask you this, Janet, because I've been sharing this for probably at least the last 15 years, especially with our friends and partners in South America and the Caribbean. We've been ringing the alarm bell there. I would submit that the real crisis we have faced, and even the crisis we're facing today, really is no longer about homosexuality. As I see it, the ultimate crisis we are facing is the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. The Bible today is under relentless bombardment and attack. Are you finding that to be true also?
Yes. Yes and no. But a lot of people, when you really think about it, people don't want to sit down and read the Word of God because they don't believe in it anymore, because they're not getting the truth from the church. And I think if we are out there more speaking the truth in love, I think more people are going to start going to the Word of God for their answers. And you were talking about, you know, the places that you have gone. I know they just had, you know, a big meeting in Trinidad.
Yes.
You know, my assistant is out of Trinidad, and she actually went to the rally that they had there. What I've come to realize, and I just got back from Nigeria, that homosexuality is all over the world. And people need to hear the truth, because the truth is what's going to set them free.
Absolutely. Well, you are the author of several books. One, Arise, The Journey from Fear to Faith. Also, God and Sexuality, Truth and Relevance Without Compromise. And Called Out, A Former Lesbian's Discovery of Freedom. That's a lot of books, Janet.
Yeah, we're working on another one for the church. I really feel in my heart that God has really given me something. You know, God and Sexuality just came out about 2 years ago, December. Dr. Michael Brown wrote the foreword. And I am so honored that even John Bevere and Terry Copeland Pearson, Andrew Walmack, Sammy Rodriguez, one of the Benham brothers, would endorse this book, would read it, and write in an endorsement. But we really need materials out there. Let me tell you what's sad about us writing books. Whenever the gay community has a forum, you find 1,000 will go. There's over 250,000 people went to Tel Aviv to the Gay Pride. And those of us who give conferences that have come out of life of homosexuality, we can barely get probably 1,000 people there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what is wrong with the faith base or the Christian organization or the Christian people. I don't know if they feel like we're supposed to give them everything on the silver platter. But we need to become a lot more knowledgeable, because when you know better, you do better. I believe God has inspired us to write books so we can get the message out, so people can become a lot more knowledgeable.
There's a lot to be said for the power of testimony.
Yes.
A lot to be said for our testimonies. Absolutely.
So I'm grateful.
Yes.
I'm grateful that I was able to write these books, so I hope it helps many people.
Are you finding, and because I am still, because you and I both get to travel quite a bit, I'm still finding that still within the Christian community, a lot of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are still seeing homosexuality as the biggie. That's the big sin. Are you finding that to be true still?
You know, when I speak to pastors and ministry leaders, I tell them that, number one, it can no longer be the elephant in the room, but you can have this big apple tree and you name every sin that is in the Bible, and then everyone can come off the tree, and homosexuality is still in the balance. It is not the biggest sin. Sin is sin in God's eyes.
Yes.
You know, I don't care if you're lying, feeding, chilling, you know, cheating, looking at pornography, or having sex outside your marriage. No sin is bigger than the other sin. Killing somebody is a sin, but you still can be forgiven. And
yes,
that's what we need to know, no matter what you've done. If you're listening today, if you're living a life of homosexuality, let me tell you something. There's hope. There's men and women like myself and Pastor Philip have God has put people in our lives to help us in this journey, and you cannot do it alone. But your first step is knowing Jesus as your Lord, God, and Savior.
Yes.
And getting to a good Bible-based church. And I believe if your heart is to want to come out, I'm not going to say it was easy. It's not easy. It's a process.
Yes.
If you fall, you wipe yourself off, you brush yourself off, and you get back up again. But the same Jesus that saved Pastor Philip and I, what he's done for us, he'll do for you also.
Yes. So, so important that people hear what you just said, that it is a process. I think a lot of a lot of people today have this expectation that it's supposed to be instantaneous, especially here in America. We even want our deliverance microwaved. We have become a society, a culture that is completely and totally impatient with anything that takes a while. But God often works through a process. Now, has he zapped, for lack of a better expression, some men and women in the past? And will he still? Probably yes. He does work that way. But more than not, he takes us through a process. And he's not just after those of us that had the brokenness of same-sex attraction. He wasn't just after our sexuality. He wanted our heart. And that's a big difference.
And that's what I was saying, you know, in the first segment last week, out of Mark, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, one the mouth speaks, but it's our heart that God wants.
Yes.
It's our heart that sometimes does some of these mean things. And a lot of times we don't mean to. But I tell you what, that's where change happens first.
Yes.
It's inside, not the outside. He works from the inside out, not the outside in. And when we can get that, I think we're going to start seeing more and more people not only walk away from a life of homosexuality, but they're going to want to be in church and not out there where they are getting their needs met with the world and the things of the world.
Absolutely. We need to stay true to the will of God. We need to present and share the full gospel. And again, we need to extend compassion without compromise. And we need to, absolutely, especially today, we need to know that we are going to face adversity, especially when it comes to this topic, because even though we put on our best Jesus, we're trying to reach to people, so often what we have to share is not well received, but that cannot prevent us from moving forward. Amen?
All day and every day.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So you said you just got recently back from Nigeria?
I did. You know, it was amazing. I was on Andrew Womack's show, who's become a really great friend of mine, endorsed my ministry. This pastor happened to see me in on Andrew's show. I was on for a full week. And he reached out and he says, I know here in Nigeria, they say it's not the right thing, but we need you here. I'm a pastor that is very connected with the United States. He was actually here. He went to Steve Furtick's conference, and then I had a chance to meet him before I went there. But he said, I need you to come here and talk with our church. I don't know how to talk with them. I don't know what to do, but we need you here where you come. And I went. I was there 11 days, and I spoke at four different churches. It was unbelievable. It was packed. But the openness and the honor and the respect, and we need to learn some things from Nigeria and Africa and people out of the country who are not getting as fat as we are on the gospel and have all the a lot of great speakers here in the United States. But it was great that their hearts were so open. And I believe that the Lord is going to take me back, but I believe that's the beginning of continuously going, you know, out of the country to all these different places that really need to hear about homosexuality, but also how God is changing lives all over the country, and that change is possible through the power of Jesus Christ. It was an amazing trip.
I would imagine in Nigeria, you probably spoke to and met a lot of men and women that what you were sharing was probably, at least in some lives, the very first time they had ever heard what you were sharing.
It was the first time. However, there's a lot of men and women that are struggling. I remember during a question and answer on a Sunday night, I spoke three times at a church, and Sunday night we had Q&A, and it was a 21-year-old boy who stood up and said, I'm living with a man because I'm out there on the street, and the only way I can stay with him if I have, you know, a sexual relationship with him. And what an opportunity we had to, one, pull him out there but help him. But he's saying, now I'm struggling with pornography. I don't know what to do. I want out. Only place I know to do is come to church. But I was so afraid to tell anybody about my problem because I thought I would be kicked out. You know what? Yes, they need to hear this message. They need to know that people can change, because a lot of people say, you can't change. You're born gay. Once gay, always gay. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because the last time I checked, God made male and female. There was no third gender mentioned in the Bible. And if you find it, I'll believe it, but there's no third gender mentioned.
Yes.
There's no such thing. But yes, it we need to be in every country and everywhere that we can, you know, to share the message, you know, that change is possible. So, but let me say this one real quick.
Sure.
Do you know, and I've said this to other pastors, you know, I'm getting a lot of calls from pastors around the country. And let me say this, pastors, if you're struggling with homosexuality, get help. There's pastors that are calling me and say, you know, Janet, I have not they blocked their number. They asked us to call back. They gave us this weird number. We called back. Hey, I have not had sex outside of marriage, and I don't know if I always believe what they say, but I'm struggling with homosexuality, and I'm married, and I'm a pastor. I will never say who they are because they never said that they slipped into it, but I'm struggling. Is there hope for me? Absolutely.
Yes.
Even a pastor, you're not resigned from, you know, having temptations and thoughts and desires. We're all going to have them.
Yes.
What you do with it. You can get help, too. You're not exempt from that. Don't go out and end your life because you might have done something foolish or you felt like you might have done something that was wrong in the eyes of God. Get the help that you need.
Yes.
And God will restore you. He'll restore what the locusts have eaten. Don't let Satan continue to lie to you, because he's a liar and he's a thief. And we got to start calling him what he is. And he's a big, fat liar.
And James 5:16 is in God's word for good reason. If we confess our faults, our sins to one another, so that someone will be praying for us, so that we will be healed. Now, to be healed does not mean just physical healing. It can also mean mental healing, emotional healing, and it can also mean sexual healing. But we've got to come out of the isolation. When we isolate, when it comes to sexual sin, we are exactly where the enemy of our soul wants us. He boxes our ears to, pins our ears to the wall. And there's a lot of Christian men and women today that are struggling with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction, and they simply don't know what to do or where to go. Well, help is available first and foremost because Jesus is alive and well.
He's alive and well, but let me say this too. I don't struggle with homosexuality, and I'm grateful for that. I'm not tempted. I'm sorry, but it repulses me to think about what I did. My biggest struggle is that at the age of 60, being out of that life 20 years, that I'm still single. Because I hear people, you know, say, "Oh, aren't you married?" It's not like I don't want to be married. I have a desire to be married.
Mm-hmm.
But even being alone, I had to learn how to, as a single person, you know, find friends to get together. Most people at Costco know me so well, they're sick of me. I should buy some stock. Macy's know me. I just go to the mall and walk around, or I'll go to a movie. I mean, a lot of my friends are married, you know, and it's like, God, what about me? Well, I have to come to a place. Well, maybe this is what God has for me, and I'm willing to stay the course because the devil is not going to take me down because I am freaked out about, you know, being single or being lonely, you know. God has people out there for each and every one of us. We just need to learn how to fill that emptiness and that void.
Amen.
With other things besides same-sex relationships.
Janet, we are almost out of time. And before we are out of time, I want you, please, once again, would you please share your website address?
Thank you for having me. www.janetboynes, Boynes is spelled B-O-Y-N-E-S, ministries.com.
You are so greatly appreciated. Thanks so much, not only for joining me this morning, but the week prior as well. For all of our listeners as well, for information regarding His Way Out Ministries, our website address is hiswayout.com. We so appreciate you. Thanks so much. Thanks for supporting us. And we continue to reach out in Christ's name to the wounded, broken, and hurting. And once again, please join me again next week, same time, same station, for yet another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.